Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
The drive is live.
That's right. The drive is live. And listen, Reggie, there's too much to get to, so I'm not even going to allow that to derail me. But if you're on with us on YouTube and Twitch, you can see all of us. T-Mill's in the building. I mean, he is just going Aggie every day now. T-Mill in the building.
Getting closer.
It's that time, baby.
It's about college football is here, baby.
Hey, it's getting there, baby. We're going to have to start talking about that. Unless Jaden Higgins just takes over the whole show. There it is. Clint Sterner in the building. We got it. You know how you can get a hold of us. Now you can get us on the text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in with us. We may open up the phone lines a little bit later on. Remember, it pays to listen to the Fan and the Drive. You'll have a chance to win front row tickets in the bullpen coming up in the 5 o'clock hour to this game that has appeared to have changed, Clint. This game that has appeared to have changed. Listen, the big news, if you're just jumping in with us at 2, the big news is Jaden Higgins. Clint Tyler, yesterday I said I felt a lot better about him from when he walked off to when he initially got injured and laid down on the ground.
Looked like
he started to grab the back of the knee from what I saw. I felt better. Then I heard CJ say, oh, I think he'll be good. And I felt better then, too. Well, clearly what we learned today, and I think it should have been a sign, Clint, that it was something that we just didn't hear any update all day long after this happened, you know, in the 10 o'clock hour. No update all day long, and then we get the news, the awful news today that Jaden Higgins, a guy who I think was going to be counted on big time for this offense, he is out for the season with a torn ACL. We're learning that today. And, Clint, I do want to get to that. And as you said, there are so many tentacles off of this injury. And one that we are learning today is, according to DJ Bienemy of ESPN, Clint, the Texans will not play their starters against the Raiders. DeMeco Ryans feels that Tuesday's practice was plenty enough work per a team spokesperson. I know we'll get into the Higgins thing, but this seems to be something that is a reaction to that. I know they're saying they saw enough Tuesday, but he seemed to be adamant that everybody that was healthy was going to play in week two. They all played in week two last year. Your thoughts off of that, Clint, that it looks like the starters will not play, and I would imagine this means now they will not play at all in the preseason, and the first time we'll see them in a game situation will be against the Buffalo Bills.
Obviously, you know I hate it, Ron. Obviously, I hate it. It's a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, I think big picture here is any day that the team takes the field, anybody can get injured. I hope this is not a knee-jerk reaction, but I don't know if there's any other way
to
look at it, right, at this point, is that it's definitely knee-jerk. So, I hate it. I think the same problems, whatever, whether it's me or it's DeMeco or whoever it may be, the same problems that existed 24 hours ago or 48 hours ago exist today. The same need for that offensive line that went a drive in the first game, whatever that need may be, it's all still here today. And I understand that you don't obviously want to let injuries become a topic or a problem here that derails the season, but you got to get the work in. You got to get the work in. The importance of the joint practice is obviously through the roof, given how Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans and really the whole NFL have really taken to it. For an injury like that, kind of a freak injury like that, to cause a change in plans, if you will, in preparation for a season, I think is awfully risky. So, not a big fan of the decision. Assuming that's what they end up going with, not a big fan of the decision to not, you know, to not play guys in the preseason, really, because if you don't play this, at this, you're not going to play at all. So,
yeah.
C.J. Stroud's last snaps in real action being New England, and then obviously Buffalo to open the season, that can't be ideal for the quarterback from a preparation standpoint.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. At least it looks like many of the starters, potentially the starters of the O-line, at least got some action last week. But this group, it looks like, if these reports are correct, it looks like the first action they will get together on the offense and defense, but the action that will first get together will be Sunday against Buffalo when the season opens. So, listen, I know that's a, as you said, that's a tough injury and a tough thing to look at, but it is hard to get the sense of how adamant he was this weekend about the guys being healthy. We're going to play that has been changed off. So, we'll see. That is obviously something that I think that's birthed from, it feels, this injury. But overall, man, I want to get this. We've heard a little bit of your reaction, and we'll go through. We've got throughout the day, because this is the big story. Jaden Higgins out for the season, torn ACL. Clint, on a scale from 1 to, I don't even want to say 10, but I just think of the guys that, because I don't look at Jaden Higgins as a, damn, that's an injury you can't come back from. There are guys on the team where you're like, this completely, absolutely changes everything. But on a scale of 1 to Will, CJ, Stingley, those are the three guys that come to mind. Clint, how big would you say this injury to start the season of Jaden Higgins is compared to those?
Well, I mean, it's obviously not one of your superstar players, but I would argue that from an importance level, all things considered, he was right below the guys you mentioned. I mean, obviously, Derek Stingley and Will Anderson changed the way you can play defense, period. That is, those two are different. C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins changed the way that you play offense. Beyond that, beyond those names and the impact that they have game in, game out, really play in, play out on their respective side of the ball, you know, there's a tier of players that I would say Dalton Schultz, I'd say David Montgomery, I would throw Jaden Higgins in that group. Now I think he was on the verge of creeping into that first tier and how they were using him and the workload that they were placing on him, the responsibilities that they were placing on him, the chemistry that he had created with CJ Stroud. The fact that if he just simply builds on year one into year two, Ron, you're talking about 8, 9, 10 touchdowns potentially. He had 6 last year and was running around like a timid rookie. This year could have been a look out. I mean, show up and show out kind of year. And so you're talking definitely a tier one player potentially. So, but as we sit right now, for me, Ron, this is a guy that it doesn't change the way you play offense, but it obviously makes your offense significantly less explosive. And it puts crazy pressure on everybody on the offensive side of the football. If you thought the Texans needed to run the football before, yep, because Nick Caserio made the moves that he made and D'Amico Ryans decided that's the brand of football that he wanted to play, if you think that the pressure was on them to get that right, boy, it is ratcheted up today. If you thought Nick Caley being a second-year play caller, if you thought the pressure of improving on last year was you know, up there, boy, it just got ratcheted up today. I mean, so every move that Nick made, every decision that D'Amico made, every play that Nick Caley calls, every decision that C.J. Stroud makes, every one of those just got made more difficult with the Jaden Higgins injury,
yeah,
period.
See, I think it should be like a 6 or a 7 on most teams, but I do think it is higher just because of, one, the injury situation and uncertainty that you have with the receivers behind him, and second, like, again, until we see more from Nick Caley, like, taking more weapons away from Nick Caley is not a good thing, right? I think the lesser the weapons that Nick Caley has is harder for him to overcome, you know, some of the deficiencies. And I think this just says tighter coverage, more resources towards Nico, and let me let all these other spaces beat me. And I don't know that you know right now you feel great that the coordinator is going to be able to kind of lift them out of that. So It is. I think it's bigger than what a normal number two receiver should be on this offense, just because of everything that's happening around it.
Oh, absolutely. If you want me to put a number on it, I would go with an 8.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
I mean Higgins, the name to your point, 6'7". No, I didn't mean that, but 6,
Come
6-ish.
Ahead. There you go.
6-ish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the name, the player, the second-year guy, the number two receiver, 6-ish. But you look at how they used him, how they were using him. You look at how we really don't – Nick Caley doesn't really specialize in moving Nico around and creating – he's not hard to find. That makes this number two receiver more valuable than most number two receivers. And so, yeah, I think it'd be real easy to get to an 8. Like I said, you're not alarming 9 or 10 with some of the names we mentioned, but I think an 8 is more than fair.
All right, text in yours, 713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. On a scale of 1 to the most important guys on this team, the Wills, the CJs, the Stingleys, the Nikos, how big is this injury to Jaden Higgins? And on the other side, how should they go about handling this? How should they go about answering the void of Jaden Higgins? We'll discuss all that coming up next right here live on Drive.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the big news of the day right here is we're live on The Drive. If you have just missed and you heard that right here on 95.7 The Fan, Houston sports leader in the loop broke that news earlier for you today, and that is that Jaden Higgins, he is out for the season with a torn ACL. I'm seeing some people jump in here on the text line. People are looking at it as a 6, a 7, an 8. Ocho has lost his mind and acted like that Nico Collins isn't alive with the comments of, I totally disagree, Ron. Higgins is the only, is their only receiver with size and elite speed.
You're crazy.
One way to replace him is to trade for Garrett Wilson. All right, that's probably not going to happen. A lot of people talking about DeAndre Hopkins rejoining this team. And that's kind of where I want to take the conversation, because it's just natural to go to. Because, Clint, this is not a move that should change the expectations or thinking of the organization. They should still be saying, all right, we're going to try to get past the divisional round and get to an AFC championship game and a Super Bowl. That should still be the mindset. And to me, the move to try to fix this, whether that is you believe in somebody within really, really hard, there's a trade possibility, there's a free agent out there. And I know Clint said he's looked up there, and I wonder if Clint kept opening that refrigerator looking for something to eat and seeing the same damn thing like I did and not coming away with anything when he looks at the available free agents right there. Or maybe there is somebody that is sexy to him. I don't know. But whatever they need to, whatever they're going to do, they should still operate in the fashion of, this move needs to be something that puts us at least in the same ballpark of where we were, because our goals and our expectations can't change. Where do you think they should go to try to fill this void, Clint?
Well, I think they got a lot of options. Unfortunately, they've got options that they wish they wouldn't have to entertain. But I think there are options. You got. I would say lower level, and when I say, I don't mean no disrespect, but just where you are in the career. I believe, wasn't Juju Smith-Schuster just cut? I think he is a guy that's had some experience in this offense, where you've got a veteran, reliable piece that could come in and learn the offense in a couple of weeks and be a player. You got guys like Josh Reynolds that have been career backups, but then you got Cooks, who hadn't played in a while, but obviously has been in this offense and has been productive. But I'm gonna tell you, Ron, I didn't think until I looked a little deeper into it, but I'm on the DeAndre Hopkins train.
Really?
I'm on the assuming he's in shape. Like I know he's been pretty outspoken about still wanting to play, but has flirted with some coaching stuff, I think, at Georgia Tech right now. But yeah, you look at his last 3 seasons in the league. He's been healthy for 16 or 17 weeks all 3 seasons. You look at last year, he averaged 15 yards a catch playing in an offense and an organization that the wheels completely came off in Baltimore. Before that, he put up over 600 yards, which I'd push that button right now. If we get DeAndre Hopkins to give you 600 to 700 yards this year and be healthy for 17 weeks, I'd push the button. Did I mention he's got experience in this offense with Bill O'Brien, at least the terminology? I think there's a lot of things that make sense with DeAndre Hopkins right now. You've got some young guys that are injured that if they come back, they give you that youth, they give you that explosiveness, they give you some different skill sets. And then, you know, I think Hop gives you a stopgap, if you will. And let's be honest, there's not many out there that are available at this point that are ready, healthy, ready to play and know what the hell's going on in this offense.
Text line coming through with you. I've seen DeAndre Hopkins. Call up Hop. Hopkins would be great. Someone just texted in as you were saying that, Clint. I've seen it on other avenues as well. Tyler, your thoughts? DeAndre Hopkins?
No, it's a no for me, dog. And I would love to see Hopkins come in if they were to do that and see him excel in some way as a veteran receiver that can help these young guys out and contribute something. Fine, whatever, but the guy's career, his NFL career is done, and we can't be looking at nostalgia and looking for good feelings just because these feelings with Higgins right now hurt so damn bad.
This is what I ask myself, because I've watched Hopkins the last couple of years, and you know, I think he's a borderline Hall of Fame receiver. And
were the Ravens his last stop?
I believe so.
Okay.
Borderline Hall of Fame receiver. And he seems to need a lot of help to help him get open at this point. The hands are still there, but, you know, having Henry and Lamar out there was probably helpful at times for him to be able to get himself open. I don't know. I watch him and I'm wondering, and I know this sounds crazy when you just hear the names, but like, if some of the in-house guys like a Jarrett Wayne played for the next 8 weeks and got experience and got better and got more chemistry with CJ, I mean, would he be a better option by that point? Because, I mean, DeAndre looks like it's about time to go into coaching full-time. He's getting close to that, and maybe this may be a possibility here, but, like, there are – To me, I'd almost rather really look into a trade, because I look at DeAndre Hopkins and I don't think all right, that's comparable, anywhere comparable to Higgins. And to me, that's where I would think you're trying close to get to. I know the guys on In the Loop talked about maybe, you know, calling up New England and seeing if Booty would be available and what that would cost. But yeah, some of these, like, I look at these free agent guys, and Hopkins might be, you know, towards the top of the list. You know, I don't know. It feels like Tyreek Hill is either going to the Chiefs or nowhere else. And then, you know, there's we've heard Brandon Cooks. I'll hold my breath if Nick Caserio is going to do that again. But I don't know, man. The Hopkins thing doesn't turn me on. I just haven't really been impressed from him the last couple of years. And,
what options other than trade? I mean, if we think that the New England Patriots or the Denver Broncos or an AFC contender is going to trade us a wide receiver when we clearly have the best or one of the best defenses in football and we're their competition, what does turn you on? I mean, none of it turns me on. I don't like to think that we're in a position that we need DeAndre Hopkins. But I mean, what out there? What player? Nobody out there on the streets right now is going to make you feel like you got Higgins back. I mean, you got to find somebody that you can plug and play, that can play multiple positions, that picks up the offense, that just gives the offense the ability to go execute. And when there's a guy he's had, even when Hopkins was having Monch, and I'm not saying show that he hadn't had a step back. There's a step back, but I mean, even when he was in his prime, he wasn't creating separation. He always played with wide receiver with defensive backs on his back or wrapped around his waist or having some kind of, he was never a separation creator. So I mean, I agree. He is not who he once was. But when you look at who's on the streets right now, I mean, you've got to go with you're talking about healthy guys on the streets right now. You got to go with a veteran who's savvy, who can help you right now, that's got experience, or you got to go with a career third or fourth string wide receiver that may be able to still run a little bit. Now, if we're going to talk trades, then, I mean, who knows? I mean, we can open up that can of worms. Hell, anybody's out there. I mean, there's a ton of guys out there, but they got a problem right now, Ron. I mean, they got three of their top four guys are injured right now. And when are they coming back?
Yeah, that's the other part. Like, to me, if Jalen Knoll is coming back, like, honest to God, and if you said we're taking trade off the table and the guys that are on the streets that are open, like, I think they got a better chance of getting Jarrett Wayne to speed in 8-10 weeks than some of the guys that are listed out there.
Oh, right? I don't disagree.
You know what
with
I mean?
That.
Yeah. So I'd rather go that route. If that, like, now
you got to go that route. You know, you're going that route.
Yeah, but I mean,
right now Jarrett Wayne is your two. You're three behind Hutch.
It's Hutch, man. Dang, man.
I'm sorry. I jumped Hutch. I mean, he's your three behind Hutch.
Yeah, and the hope is that Knoll is back with his hamstring and the finger, and he's in the fold. And then, obviously, we've talked about the Tank situation. That, and then if you got to add another veteran guy, yes. But I just think he's probably got a shot better than any of those guys on the street to come anywhere close to where you were hoping that Higgins would be. So that's why I'm just not – there's just not a name. If this had happened, you know, you hate to say this, a couple of weeks ago and Diggs was still out there and – maybe Deebo Samuel was still out there, then you know, there's a different feel. But right now, it is slim. It is slim.
It's bare. Yeah. It's bare, man. And I don't know that you sit, because now you're in a spot, Ron. Let's say Knoll comes back and he's healthy and he stays healthy for a week and you get some confidence. Hey, this guy can contribute in some of the role that Higgins was playing. Hey, Jarrett Wayne can be another outside wide receiver. He's had a great camp. Cool, let's do it. Now you're one injury away from really leaning into Watson.
You know, yeah.
You know what I mean? So there, you got to make a move to some level at this point in time. You got to make a move at some point, and the guys we're talking about are all unproven, injured, or rookie. I mean, that's just a risky way to go into this thing, given, again, that we're in a Super Bowl window here with this defense.
All right, last night the Astros dropped to 500 now, and they took an L to the worst team with the worst record in baseball, the LA Angels. We'll discuss what happened there and some news on one of the promising young players for the Astros. We'll let you know that on the
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Other side.
95.7 The Fan, live from the West Point Lincoln and West Point Lincoln of Sugarland Studios. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a lot going on, including down at the Daikin. The Astros, listen, I'm not going to just, you know, go out and call for sweeps. I mean, if there were going to be a sweep, you'd say to yourself, maybe the Astros could take care of business and sweep a team like the Angels, who have one of the worst. I think the A's, who the Astros played next, only have a worse record right now than the Angels, but they weren't able to do so, and it wasn't the pitching fault. Wasn't the pitching's fault last night. It was the bats, and we'll get to that in a second. I do want to announce this news. We do know tonight that one of their top pitching prospects, Ethan Petko, is going to get the ball tonight, make his major league debut in a game now that, boy, you know, you feel like you need, and especially you need because your lead is down to one game over the Rangers in the AL West. Petco is getting the ball tonight. And with that, Clinton Tyler, Bryce Matthews has been moved to the 60-day IL to clear him. So that means Bryce is done.
Tough news day for the sports in Houston.
I'm telling you, the young guys, young promising guys, Bryce Matthews, there ain't 60 games left. Here 60 days left. So he is out, going to be out for the season. But Ethan Petco is now in a part of the roster and will get the ball tonight. So that is the latest there with Bryce Matthews, done for the season, pushed to the 60-day IL. All right, Clint, last night it wasn't the offense. I don't know if Christian Javier did enough to stay in the rotation, but it wasn't him last night. Now, you like to see him go a little further, and that 87 pitches, he would be able to spread out more than four innings. But Clint, they lose 3-1, and they got nothing, right? I mean, they got one lousy single through the first seven innings of the game. One single through the first seven innings of the game, seven strikeouts during that time, end up having three total hits in the game. And Clint, they ain't going to win no games like this. The top seven yesterday went 1-for-24. 1-for-24 for the top seven. And there's the Angels starter, and you talked about what was the new thing, they're going to be patient this year. The Angels starter, four of his seven innings, he threw less than 10 pitches. So it was just, from approach to everything, the Astros ain't going to make nothing if the offense is going to play like that. Hopefully this is a bad night, just a bad night. But we do know that lineup is not like lineups we've seen in the past. And, you know, they may have some rough nights, especially those top two guys aren't hitting.
Yeah, I mean, look, unfortunately, we're in a spot where that's what this season, we can talk about 3-9 if we want to, or 3-7 if we just want to look at the top seven hitters. But the reality of it is it's Pena and Alvarez. I mean, if those two guys at the top of the lineup aren't going to produce, if they're not going to, if Jeremy Pena's not going to, at the very least, you know, be on the base pass, posing threats to get into scoring position, and Yordan Alvarez isn't going to swing the bat well, if his numbers are going to continue to not fall off a cliff, but if his numbers are going to continue to trend downward, then this team's not going anywhere. You know, this team's going to allow the Rangers and everybody else, the Mariners and everybody else, to be relevant in this division, and the Astros aren't going anywhere. So last night was an absolute buzzkill. Unfortunately, we're not talking about Christian Javier, like you said. I agree. I don't know if it's – I think it's enough for him to stay in this rotation and get another shot with this particular team. But it's – I mean, you'd like to think that, hey, man, we're coming out here and the topic is that Christian Javier is didn't do enough, didn't go deep enough in the game. You know, didn't do this right or that right, but the reality of it is we're talking about the top of the lineup not producing at all. Hard to think that this team is going anywhere if they're going to be held hitless by a starter with the Angels.
Yeah, no. And luckily for them, obviously we said the Rangers, they won 5-0. The Mariners somehow lost 22-0 yesterday.
Biggest shutout since 1888, baby.
The Brewers beat them.
Stupid ass merman.
They beat them.
So serious when he says that.
22-0. So, but yeah, Christian Javier last night went four innings, five hits, two earned, five Ks, one walk. He gave up the one homer, and that homer was, you know, a Burrow box homer for 345 feet. That you know, that's a tough one in that ballpark. But sorry, Crawford. But
I mean, we've taken Mike Burrows, and we're not even making fun of him anymore. We've just named the short porch in left field after him.
His balls like to live there. The Burrow boxes. That's right, man. The BBs back there down there. But I think you're right. In this rotation, when they've sent Ronel Blanco down and Emi and the rest of the gang, yeah, I think he's earned another start with four innings and two earned, right? Like, if the rookie tonight, if you got me to push a button right now, four innings, two earned, I would push it in a heartbeat for that kid tonight, all day long. So, you know, good for him. By the way, Cam Smith, he did go deep yesterday, and it wasn't like that home run Javier gave up. He went deep, and that sucker was getting out of any ballpark that was ever built. The way he swung on that thing. But it's more evidence right now that he needs to be in the lineup every day. I know he missed a game in that Mariners series because he had to pinch run for some reason for Yordan in the eighth inning. But if you look at the top guys on this team, Alvarez is hitting .273 and one homer in the month of August. Pena's hitting .156 with two homers in the month of August. Paredes is hitting .273 with a homer. And Altuve, shout out to it, the top side dish in America, is hitting .347 with one homer. But then, and then Christian Walker, .208 with one homer. Cam Smith, his slash line right now in the month of August, 19 days, it is August 19th. 356, 383, 689, four homers, and eight RBIs, and he's not playing every day. So I think it is more evidence that Cam Smith needs to be in the lineup.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's just, I guess he heard them boys talking about how he fell off last year and struggled as the season went along and as teams got to know him. I mean, he clearly is turning it up. I agree. I mean, in the lineup every day, I think is – I mean, I think that should be a thing of the past. I mean, where in this lineup with guys like Varsho struggling? And look, I'm not saying that Cam should be in the top four of this lineup, but if we're going to play the who's hot game and yo-yo guys up and down the lineup, anybody not named who? Pena, Yordan, Paredes, or Altuve, everybody else can see the eight hole if they want to.
Yeah.
If we're gonna play that, then I think Cam – It right now, it makes good baseball sense for Cam to be climbing the charts and Cam to be not only an everyday starter, but also be in that five hole or in that six hole and be in a spot where he can get more at bats and he can help this team with one swing of the bat.
At the very least, be in the lineup every day.
I agree. Yeah, I mean hell, we got. Hopefully, we're beyond that with what you just outlined.
Baseball talk on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Coming up, we'll obviously let you know as a new audience potentially coming in with the new news or the latest news with the Texans. Jaden Higgins out for the season. And I think that connects to a conversation piece that I want to have. And, yes, Tyler, I think it's a good point to maybe open up the phone lines for some of the people. We'll hear from you. 713-572-4610. Be thinking of this. When we look at the Texans, if they do not reach the destination that they're looking, getting out of the divisional round, how many of you believe that you think that C.J. Stroud is going to be the reason that they don't get there? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.